The tenth item in the Orech Chaim of the Rosh, Os Yud, is Shelo Yisaper Lashon Hara V'Shelo Yikablo, conveying to us that there's two parts to the prohibition of Lashon Hara. There is the one who is speaking, that is conveying the Lashon Hara, and there is also a prohibition on the one receiving. And one might get the impression that this second transgression, the idea of receiving Lashon Hara, is basically one who is serving as an accessory. That presumably if there's no audience, so no one would speak Lashon Hara, so therefore it's wrong to speak Lashon Hara, but it's also wrong to listen. You are facilitating and enabling the Aveira. But what's fascinating to note is that we find that Kabbalah's Lashon Hara is actually its own prohibition. The Gemara in the Maseches Pesachim ties it to its own pasuk of Lo Tisa Shema Shav, and it creates the impression that it's not simply an accessory to speaking Lashon Hara, but it's actually its own problem. And in fact, the Gemara actually implies over there that maybe it's the other way around, that the real Aveira is Kabbalah's Lashon Hara, to receive, and the speaker is the accessory. The speaker is the one who's making it possible. And, in fact, the Rambam, when he describes Kabbalah's Lashon Hara in his Mishneh Torah, he refers to its evil as being Yoser min ha'omro, even more than the one speaking. And all of this is really not what we would expect. And perhaps what it's teaching us is that the Aveira of Lashon Hara actually has to do with the impression that we form about the subject and the ideas that we form in our mind because of what is being said. And therefore, it is the speaker who is allowing these impressions to be formed and who is creating the negative impact. And the prohibition of Lashon Hara, we know, applies even if what's being said is true. And a lot of that can be explained by the fact that we think we're saying something that is true and is factual, but the truth is there's a lot that's missing in what we're saying, and a lot that we may even be misunderstanding and misrepresenting without realizing it. And that is true when one is speaking. It's even more true the one listening, because whatever flaws and deficiencies are there in the transmission are even more so in the receiving. And perhaps that's why the prohibition of Sisa Shema Shav, according to the commentaries of Rashi and Unkos, Shav in that pasuk should be translated as Sheker, meaning the pasuk is telling us do not receive a false report. And if Lashon Hara is true, it's striking that the prohibition will be formulated this way, don't receive a false report. But it conveys to us that even if the speaker thinks he's relating facts, what reaches the ear of the listener is not necessarily true and is very often a false picture. And especially as we reach the Yemei HaDin, as we approach Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we're hoping for favorable judgment, we know that Chazal tell us that if we're able to judge others generously and fairly, so too we can hope to receive that treatment from Ribbono Shel Olam. So this prohibition is crucial for us to appreciate and to understand its impact, and to teach us that if we are able to train our sense of judgment so that we can extend that understanding to others, we can hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the same for us.